And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking with Carlos Aceves, and he is with the group Chuco Avila. And why don't we start there? What is that all about? What does that mean, and what are you guys doing?
El Chuco Avila is a civic group based in El Paso. It started a little over a year ago. Five of us, old activists, decided to come back together. And when I say old, we're all in our 70s.
Okay.
We're veterans of the Chicano movement, sometimes referred to as the Mexican-American Civil Rights Movement. But we've been politically active most of our lives. Street politics, advocacy politics. Now, I'm not talking about working for a political party.
Right.
Anyway, the reason we came together, five of us, two women and three men, is because we felt the way some other voices in the United States felt, that the new Trump administration was going to be significantly different, especially in light of Project 2025. And we wanted to announce a clear and present danger that what the new administration was bringing was something drastically different than what has been previously experienced before. And so we got together and we did a protest for the inaugural of the Trump presidency. And we've been holding events ever since. And we've seen that what we feared has come to pass. We've entered a period in the United States where we are in an authoritarian United States. And if we don't, and for people to exercise their civic duty and do something about it. Specifically, I'm here to announce two events related to the topic of immigration. At the beginning of this year, our group, El Chuco Avila, made a call for groups around the country to focus on, to pick a couple of days or a day to focus on the how immigration, the specific characteristics that apply to Mexican Americans when it comes to immigration. And so we made the call to focus on the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. And that's where the saying that we use, we didn't cross the border, the border crossed us.
Right.
For those of you that don't know, the treaty established the current border between U.S. and Mexico, more or less, after a U.S. invasion took away half of Mexico's territory. Anyway, so we have two events. One is next Monday, February 2nd, at the Alamito Learning Center, 508 South Virginia, at from 6 to 7:30. Dr. David Romo, a historian, pretty well-known historian in the area, and Ms. Ruby Montana, who is a lecturer at the University of Texas at El Paso, they'll be talking about the significance and the relevance of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo today, not only to immigration, but to many other things. You know, when some of the pueblos in New Mexico have gone to court over land and water rights, they invoke the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. So that's on Monday, February 2nd, which is the 178th anniversary of the signing of the treaty in 1848. The other event that I want to announce is on February 7th, which is the National Raza Day of Action Against ICE. That will be at the Federal Building at noon, 700 East San Antonio, Saturday, February 7th. And we have groups around the country, Los Angeles, Dallas, Denver, Albuquerque, even Las Cruces. There will be a supporting action here in Las Cruces. And then an online event from a prisoners' rights organization.
Where will the Las Cruces event be?
It'll be it's at Loman, and I forget the
intersection?
Yes, the intersection. Okay.
Probably Loman and Telshore would be my
guess.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's where they usually are.
Right. That's they're going to do a supporting action.
Yeah.
For this event. We think it's immigration is an issue that affects everybody, but we wanted to focus on how it particularly affects Mexican Americans.
I have to ask, when you were getting together before the inauguration for the second Trump term and you were preparing for what was to come, did you even imagine that it would be this bad?
Yes.
You did. You saw this coming.
Yes, and that's due to our experience, yeah. both personal and from by personal, I mean the way I grew up. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a couple of personal
Please.
Stories. One that's not related to me, but to a friend of mine who is now deceased, but he wouldn't mind me using his name, Joe Ornelas. Joe Ornelas, when he was around 7 years old, in the 30s, 1930s, he was sitting at his in his home with his family, having dinner. And there was a knock on the door.
And when was this? About
in the 19, I think it was in the 1935, something.
Okay.
The 1930s. Yeah. And they opened the door, and there were immigration officers, and there was a bus waiting outside. They took the whole family, deported them to Mexico.
Yeah.
That was the experience of 1.5 million Mexican Americans. Over 600,000 of them were U.S. citizens. Mm. Joe eventually made it back to the States, as some of them did, and lived. He even joined
right.
the army.
Right.
On a personal level, with me, when I was about 4 years old, we were crossing the border. We were legal, and I was eating a mango in the back seat. And the immigration officer at the border looked at me, asked my mother to roll down my father to roll down the window, and he went to the back and just grabbed the mango out of my hand and walked away. When I grew up in the Lower Valley, and it was in a rural area, and so there was an abandoned house nearby,
yeah.
And regularly there were undocumented immigrants who would hide there. Border Patrol would come. And I would see that they, every time, they would not only arrest them, but they would beat them. Mm-hmm. They would push them, shove them, kick them. There was regular practice. I grew up seeing that. When I was 19 years old, I was crossing the border, going from the United States to Mexico. And me and two friends of mine, and they were the agent said, "Hey, we know them. They're illegals." And they came over, and one of them started hitting with his baton one of my friends, okay? And then we got it straightened out. We showed our documentation.
Sure.
And we're not crossing into the United States. We're crossing from the United States back to Mexico. So I grew up with this. Okay. So in the Mexican American Civil Rights Movement, the Chicano movement, that was a time of the 60s and 70s. People are not aware of what many things that have happened in the. Late 50s, early 60s, 50 civil rights workers were killed. Then in the 60s and early 70s, 30 members of the Black Panther Party were assassinated. In the 70s, 62 members of the American Indian Movement were killed, assassinated. In the Chicano Movement, we lost 20 who were killed. These weren't people that died of an accident or anything.
Right.
They were killed by either authorities or someone. So we know how dangerous it can get, how bad the government can get. And we saw the Project 2025, some of the people behind it, who are now in the Trump administration. Trump, is not the problem. Trump is a person who is being used by a group of people who know what they're doing. Okay? And Trump is excellent at playing a part. People say he's crazy, he's sick, no. He knows exactly the part he is playing. The people behind him are the ones who are urging him on. He has signed in 1 year 229 orders. Executive orders, mm-hmm. and he has basically gutted all areas of government that are meant to serve the people.
That's
education,
right.
Health, and now just recently, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the National defense strategy plan has been changed. China and Russia are no longer the enemy. They are now competitors. Mm-hmm. And it states the main enemy is the main objective of the national of our defense forces is to secure the border and make sure the United States is dominant in the Western Hemisphere.
Right. That's clear.
And that's not Trump. That's not Trump authoring all this.
You don't think so?
No. And I'll tell you who is authoring this. Two people, Stephen Miller.
For sure.
And Russ Vought.
Yeah,
They are experts at what they're doing. They know. It's Stephen Miller.
I don't think Trump's an expert, but I think he's I do think he's bought in. I think he's a true believer. And I think he's, for reasons I will never comprehend, a great pitch man. He's able to reach people. I don't get the charm and the charisma, but some people do. So I completely agree that Stephen Miller and Russ Vought are behind the scenes pulling the strings, but I think Trump has bought in 100% as well.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Okay. He definitely has bought in, but he's not crazy. He's not crazy.
He's addled, but.
He acts crazy. You know, if you study the history of fascism in the 30s, and this country almost went fascist in the 1930s, those immigration sweeps that deported 1.5 million people to Mexico, they were part of a very right-wing movement.
Right.
Now, fortunately, back in the 30s, the progressives were strong enough that they turned that movement around. And they created what we now know as the New Deal. Mm-hmm. Okay, same thing happened in Mexico. In Mexico, the strongest fascist party, I think it had 300,000 members. They called the Sinarquistas. And they wanted Mexico to be a fascist country. The progressives in Mexico were able to turn it around. And they got land reform. They got the nationalization of the petroleum industry. Right. Unfortunately, what happened with that is they had to establish a very authoritarian system, and Mexico lived with that until recently when the government changed.
Right.
In the United States, we've had to deal with the same thing. In order for Roosevelt to be able to pass the New Deal, he had to allow Jim Crow to stay in the South. That was a price.
It was a trade-off, right.
Right. And the other thing that came about it was later on was the McCarthy era.
Yeah.
So, there's a price to pay. Today's times, we are at a crossroads. We are an authoritarian state, but not yet a fascist state. Part of the reason why I'm announcing these events, why El Chuco Habla got together, mm-hmm. we're now a little bit bigger, but there's more people with a younger age.
Well, I'm certain more people are paying attention to these issues than were a year ago or a month ago.
So the voices that were with us over a year ago in sounding the alarm have now come together as organizations. The Indivisibles is a national organization. Mm-hmm. The Committee for the First Amendment is another organization. And so...
And you're seeing all of these groups banding together?
Supporting each other.
Supporting each other.
Towards the same goal. There's a fund called Defending Our Neighbors, which is exclusively to provide legal representation for people who are picked up by immigration authorities. And some generous businessmen have contributed, and anything you donate to Defending Our Neighbors, all of it will go. They won't. The fee has already been paid for by mm-hmm. by
right.
some.
Right.
So, that's why I'm here today.
Right. Yeah. Getting back to the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, we know with pretty much all treaties. Years later, we look back and okay, we didn't follow the what has not been. What was agreed to back then that has not been respected or followed through on, do you believe?
Well, the border agreements that were agreed on were not followed. They had to go back and, you know, renegotiate even up to the Kennedy administration with El Chamizal. So a lot of the border issues were not completely settled. The Gadsden Purchase, was another way, another thing that they had to go back and settle. Yeah. But the other thing is that the land rights of the Mexicans and Native Americans living in this country were not respected. The water rights were not respected. And so the civil rights were not respected. Everybody who remained in the United States was supposed to automatically become a citizen. That did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different groups were brought in at different times, namely to water down the residents' political ability. So voting rights did not come to everybody at the same time. And so there was a famous movement in New Mexico called the Land Grant Movement by Reyes López Tijerina in the 1960s. Directly because the treaty had been violated,
mm-hmm.
and those issues weren't even settled until what was the governor's name, the one who did the spaceport?
Richardson.
Yeah, until the Richardson administration finally, a lot of those issues were settled, and the issue that remains today is that Mexicans are viewed as foreigners.
Right.
And we're not foreigners by choice. We're foreigners because the United States invaded Mexico and took away half its territory. So the border crossed us.
Right.
And that's an important point because it's part of the U.S. Political history. And we're not saying we can give the land back to Mexico or anything, but we're saying respect, just like the United States does with all Native treaties,
right?
They've all been violated.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Now, another relevancy of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which people are not aware of, in 1979, after Wounded Knee, many indigenous groups formed the International Indian Treaty Council, and they got NGO status at the United Nations. And we said, "Well, we're covered by a treaty also." So the International Indian Treaty Council allowed a Mexican-American member, and so there's a representative that goes every year to the United Nations, caucuses with not only now indigenous groups from the United States, but from all over the world,
mm-hmm.
To bring up issues at the United Nations about violations of rights, especially land rights.
Mm-hmm. So what else is your group... we're going to have this this day and this celebration. You're doing some public awareness. But are you, I guess my question is around, in terms of immigration, is your group doing or has any concerns around the other sort of immigration operations that are happening in El Paso, in particular the camps that have been built at Fort Bliss, to house the detained immigrants that have been...
The reason why I refer to the authoritarian United States
mm-hmm.
is because basically in the big, beautiful bill that Trump passed, Homeland Security and ICE has been established not as an organization to protect the security of the United mm-hmm. States, but as a way of establishing they're going to... basically, they're concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be concentration camps. And immigrants are targeted not only because they're immigrants, but it's pushing the envelope. It's to strike fear not just in immigrants, but in everybody. One of the fears that is already cemented, and there's many civic organized leaders, the leader of LULAC, for example, has told people, be sure to carry your documents wherever you go
mm-hmm.
to prove you're a citizen. The law says that the immigration authorities have no right to ask anyone outside, crossing the border for their papers. They have no right. That's against the law. But people are being urged, you know, friends just of mine saying, oh, yeah, you know, and what that happened, what that does is that that's creates an atmosphere of compliance. Mm-hmm. And compliance is one of the dangers in having an authoritarian system go to a fascist system. So we're telling people, letting people know what their rights are, that that if ICE or anybody, any immigration officer stops them, they do not have to answer. They do not have to show papers. They don't have to. They don't have to get out of their cars. They're, ICE or any immigration officer is not allowed to, you know, going through their homes. A lot of things that they're doing, you know, they're not allowed to do. And we need to. We're saying exercise your rights. and. You know, when you look at Stephen Miller and Russ Vought, they are very much in they're very, very well trained in their ideology.
They've been planning this their whole lives.
You could say that. I like to say that they were kids, like all kids, but.
I saw the video of Stephen Miller running for school office complaining that they had to pick up their stuff. We've got janitors here. Why don't they pick up our stuff? So why can't we be slobs?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. I suspect he's been this way for a while.
the other thing that we're doing is, which is very important, is to say the United States needs to embrace our identity as a multicultural country. Stephen Miller, Russ Vought say, no, it has to be unipolar. Mm-hmm. There has to be a definition of what a United States citizen is and everybody else, you know, out. And the other thing is what that we're pointing out is, and I think the Canadian Prime Minister pointed this out at the summit, the World Summit long ago, is that, you know, the United States and some countries are basically their international character is that of empires, and we need to stop this pretending that they're not,
right?
And push back.
I thought that was a brilliant speech, and one that Americans should listen and take heart, because he's right. This isn't going to just go back to how things were in 3 years when Donald Trump's out of office. The rupture is the correct word for the world order that he personally, one man, has caused, with Russ Vought and Stephen Miller and other people urging him on. But yes, I mean, it's this. We have crossed over the Rubicon. I don't know, whatever cliche you want to say, but we're not going back to. It seems like an irreparable change to me.
The way fascism emerged in the 30s around the world is the movement, first, they caused chaos. They pushed the envelope. And then they see where they landed, and then they use that to move forward, not backward.
Right. You're right.
Not backward. Internationally, Trump has scored a big... The Trump administration, these people, have scored a huge victory for them when the United Nations approved the so-called border peace for Gaza. And what that is that's the world saying genocide in the 21st century is okay. And Trump being president for life of this board is okay. And people ruling other people by force is okay. Hitler and Mussolini and Franco in Spain, they push kind of the same types of tactics. Hitler in 1939 sent a boat called a Saint Louis around the world with over 900 Jewish people and told the world, okay, if you're really concerned about the Jews in Germany, here. And what did the world say? Go back to where you came from.
Right.
That was a big international hit for Hitler. That really allowed him to move forward with the rest of his plans, because he said, hey, the world, you know, I know how the world's going to react, including the United States. The Trump administration, not Trump himself, you know, this Davos was not about Greenland. Greenland already belongs to the United States. They're just the elite in Denmark and the people in the United States, they're just waiting for Greenland to thaw and then they're going to take away all the resources from the native people of Greenland.
Of course.
It wasn't about Greenland. It was about the border peace. Mm-hmm. Davos was where all these countries came together and they officially created the border peace that had already been approved by the United Nations. We're talking about a clear and present danger that is not only national, but international. And we need to get involved. Very simply, we need to be U.S. Human beings who are exercising their rights. They're in the Constitution. First Amendment, Second Amendment, all the amendments, it gives us rights. We need to be active.
Well, I think, you know, you've kind of made a good point that this all seems very new, especially, for people like me who didn't. You know, I looked at the civil rights struggle as a white kid cheering for what I hoped was the right side, but obviously not with a personal involvement. And it's easy to see that as, you know, strictly a Southern black thing when clearly the struggle was taking place here as well. And it's easy to see what is happening now as a new thing when you're right. There has been brutality against immigrants as long as we've been a country. So I think those are helpful reminders.
Well, I'm glad to see the emergence of many organizations, mm-hmm. and especially the Indivisibles. All we're saying is don't forget that you have rights, but more importantly, exercise them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exercise.
So once again, we're kind of down to our last few minutes. Let people know again about the events that you have coming up.
Monday, February 2nd at the Alamito Learning Center, 508 South Virginia.
From El Paso.
In El Paso, yeah. the country across the freeway.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Dr. David Romo, Ruby Montana. And February 7th at the Federal Building in El Paso, mm-hmm. at noon, 700 East San Antonio. If you want more information, you can call me, Carlos Aceves, 915-504-1277.
Well, it's been a very timely and interesting conversation. In our last couple of minutes here, what haven't we asked you about, or what final points would you want to make?
We're at a critical point, and it's very serious. And just take seriously what's happening. If we don't have a November elections that are, if we have November elections that are manipulated, restricted, then I think we're down. We've lost the battle. So let's get involved.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I will simply add from my whatever it's worth, I still have faith in our elections. And I still encourage everybody to get out there. Mm-hmm. If you think it's rigged and you think your vote don't, you can't buy into that mentality. To be fair, I have more faith in ours than yours in Texas, but that's a story for another time.
That's right.
Mr. Sevis, it's been great talking to you, and appreciate your thoughts on this and your experiences. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.